Merkle Media.
Heyo, everybody, and welcome to Back It Up Fridays with Hammerlane Legends. I'm your host, Jack Merkle, and I'm here to deliver you the goods on a Friday. I hope you've all had a good week and are ready for this flashback episode. This was a banger back in the day, not that long ago, surprisingly. Episode 91, Time Slip Off I-80. This was a fantastic episode with back when Tony was on the show. As are pretty good chunk of these, I think, now that I'm talking. But this was with Bob, and Bob had seen a lot of stuff, but his experience of the time slip that he had was fantastic. I mean, the story was awesome. So I hope you guys enjoy it. Hope you enjoy your weekend. Stay safe. Just chill, relax. If you have to work, well, I hope it's safe for you and that you're able to get through it. By listening to this show, as always, enjoy your weekend and peace out.
He put it in park, threw open the driver's door, ran out the side of the car, across the front of it, and jumped right off the side of the bridge in front of me.
The only people that really pulled over were truckers.
He said, "We're going to Hodge," and he didn't slow down. He went across the median onto the oncoming traffic, but where they could see him coming, they just got out of the way.
I noticed his plane was really low. He went right in front of us, hit the fence, and it spun around. You know, 30 seconds more, he could have hit us.
And I went around that truck, and a guy stepped out from behind the truck and threw a piece of wood, and it shot through my window just like a spear and stuck in the back of the cab of my truck.
That's probably one of the stranger things I've seen.
Welcome to the show, everybody. You're listening to Hammer Lane Legends. I'm your host, Tony Merkle.
And I am Brian Merkle.
We're really glad you're here. If you have a crazy, wild experience you want to share with us from the road, go ahead and shoot us an email. Our email address is hllpodcast@protonmail.com. That's hllpodcast@protonmail.com. Or go to the website, hammerlanelegends.com. Hit the contact section. You can reach us that way as well. Either way works for us. Just get a hold of us, Dad. Tell them about the voicemail line.
All right, we got a voicemail line. That voicemail line is for a 5 or 10 minute story. That's all.
Yeah.
If it's any longer than that, get a hold of us through hammerlanelegends.com or hllpodcast@protonmail.com. But the phone number for the voicemail line is 515-585-MERK. That's 515-585-6375.
Yeah, and, you know, we got to do a voicemail show at some point.
We certainly do.
I mean, they're stacking up. Yeah, hang in there, friends. Keep calling the voicemail line. We'll
Please
get
do.
To the voicemail show
yes.
Soon, hopefully before the year's up. So
yes,
hang in there. All right, so we also have the preparedness site, preparewithhll.com. That's preparewithhll.com. And there you can get yourself emergency supply food and survival gear. The food's going to last you up to 25 years on the shelf. We have some really great deals going on right now on the website. And the survival gear is obviously for survival in those kind of situations. You never know what's going to happen, whether it's power outages or end of world scenarios, or I don't know, the house got flooded because the kids shoved crayons down the toilet.
That could be.
You know, it could be anything. So in case of emergencies, though, you want to make sure you're prepared with the food you need. And there you can get it on preparewithhll.com. And also, friends, buy us a coffee. Dad, what are we talking about buying us a coffee?
buymeacoffee.com/Hammer Lane. You're able to, that gives you an opportunity to tip the host here on the show.
Absolutely.
That's what it does. Gives you an opportunity to tip us.
It's a virtual tip jar.
It is.
Yeah, and we just got notified this week that they're moving away from PayPal. So if you're tipping us with PayPal, You might need to find a new way to tip us, or just stop tipping us. It's up to you. It's America still, so you can do whatever you want to do.
Yeah, and it's okay.
Right.
It's okay.
So, all right, this week we have Bob coming on the show, and Bob has an interesting story he contacted. Actually, he contacted the confessionals, but because this weird story happened in his truck while he was driving his rig, I was like, let's do it. Let's bring him on Hammer Lane and talk to him about this weird stuff. Bob goes into this time slip where he sees this diner, goes inside, and the people inside were out of time or out of place.
He was out of time.
Yeah, he was out of time. They were out of place for the time that he thought he was in. And how this whole story unfolds is very interesting. And it happened right here in Pennsylvania. And we spent some time trying to figure out where this diner was because you know how I go. I got to go check it out. So,
yes. Yes, we did.
We will see if I can find that diner or the general area, which I think we have found the area. And it's already a bizarre, weird area that has weird stories coming out of it. Without any further delay, let's get to Bob and his strange night going back in time or something. I don't know.
We'll find out.
Let's go.
Me and my wife did the last 10 together, and we were all over Pennsylvania, you know, Philadelphia, New Jersey, all over the place. And I think I ran into you at a Wawa.
Really?
Yeah. It's been probably 4 or 5 years ago.
That sounds like
that'd be the time frame.
Let's see here. It wasn't directly off 76. What town was it? Was it Philly?
No, I can't remember where it was. It's like if you went over the bridge, there was a TA. On the other side was a Wawa, and then there was like a little diesel fuel island in the back that you could park at. And that's where I was parked, and I walked over to the Wawa, got us some sandwiches, then we took off with TA. But I was listening to the confessionals and Sasquatch Chronicles, and you were coming out. I was going in. I said, hey, what's up? And it looked just like your picture and everything. Opened the door for me. I was like, hey, cool, right on. We didn't talk. We just kind of like passed by.
Just kind of pat
I think that was Merkel.
I hope I didn't feel when you said, hey, what's going on? I'm like, hey, do I know you? Shut up. Usually when I was on the road, and especially when I'm in the truck driving, I'm like, miserable SOB, leave me alone. It's not the happy-go-lucky Tony everybody hears about on the podcast.
Oh, I fully get it. But I'm 6'2", 250. People are usually polite.
All right, so
I know I would be. Yeah, for sure.
All right, so
yeah,
so you, what bridge are we talking about? Like a Jersey PA bridge or what?
It would have been across from the. It wouldn't have been a big bridge. It was just an overpass. And I think it was an overpass in 76. I can't. We were all over the United States. We go Washington, California, Florida, up to the Canadian border. I mean, we were all over the place.
Wow, you were all over the place.
And
TA, what are we talking about? TA?
That's the Truck Stops of America.
Exactly. That's not my forte.
What kind of a truck driver were you?
I was a local guy who went to Wawa's and not anything else other than a Wawa. Like,
They've got the best meatball sandwich.
I was just gonna say that I had to get my meatball sandwiches. It's the best meatball sandwiches out there.
Oh hell yeah, absolutely.
Have you ever had the meatball sandwiches, Dad?
No,
I'm telling you, you gotta try it.
They're good. It's like the best thing they have.
It's on another level.
I will give it a try one of these nights.
Like people thinking.
Yeah, you got to.
Yeah, like you think. We're talking about a meatball sub from a gas station. Yes, we are. And it's.
Yeah, exactly. The bread's good. The meat's good. Double mozzarella. Throw some Parmesan on there.
Yeah.
And put it in a bag and let me get the hell out of here.
Yeah,
absolutely.
I hear you. I had done an event at a place called Pennhurst, which is like a really haunted, it was an asylum back in the day. And,
oh God,
we had somebody come up from Texas, and, And I told her, I said, there was a Wawa right next to her hotel. And I was like, you got to try the meatball sub. And she kind of looked at me sideways until she tried it. And she texted me. She's like, you were right.
They've taken gas station food to a whole nother level.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. It's fresh. Yeah, it's tasty. Absolutely. You know,
when you have like very few options, it's a great place to get. Absolutely.
Yeah.
That right.
That's one thing that I do miss is my daily stops at Wawa.
You know what? I moved from Southern California to Alabama because the political climate out there, it's been getting bad for decades. Mm.
Oh, I haven't noticed.
really? Okay. Anyway, I came off the road and I just drive local here in Alabama now. I do bulk tank cement. I just go to one plant. I know where I'm going to be every day. I go home every night.
Wow.
Oh man. I don't miss over the road at all anymore.
Yep. I've really thought about moving south because I'm sick and tired of winter driving up here in PA. I'm sick and tired of the roads. I'm sick and tired of PennDOT. I'm sick and I've wondered what kind of jobs are down that way, you know?
Everything is wide open down here.
Yeah.
Everything is wide open down here. I mean, the company I work for has 111 trucks, and they can't keep them full.
Wow.
I mean, everybody is hiring down here. And it's like, I did the Wyoming, Nebraska, Washington, going across Dakotas in the middle of winter, chaining up the truck. I did that up and over Cabbage Patch. And you know what? I don't miss any of that anymore. Nope. Not anymore.
I can imagine.
I get down here. It's like the worst thing that you hit. If there's a snowflake around here, you just stay home.
That works. That's
my kind
they
of
don't
driving.
Have chains. There's no chains on the truck. There's right. no cinder ash trucks, no salt trucks, no snow plows. If it ices up, and stay in bed. We don't do anything.
Yep. That's the way it should be. It is. I'm down with that 100%.
Yeah. So I don't have to deal with like going 7 miles in 39 minutes in LA anymore. And I don't have to deal with the ice road.
Right.
I'm happy.
Yep, that's what makes me laugh. You know, people go, "Well, you ever think about doing like ice road truckers?" Look, I do that every winter. I don't need to go to Alaska to do that. I live in PA. Trust me, PennDOT makes sure it's ice roads.
I tell you, there was a period of time where I strongly was looking at that because I was broke and I needed to figure out how I was going to pay my bills. And I was like, "Listen, maybe I try throwing my hat in the ring up there." The problem is, I found out doing the research with it. It's really hard to get in with that stuff. I mean, like,
it's
you have to know
really,
somebody.
Really hard to get in.
Because, like they're not going to be like, yeah, sure.
And we just take applications, yeah.
Yeah. Like, this guy from Philadelphia.
I'm sure Cargill has a stack of applications. Probably a foot thick.
Yep, exactly.
You know?
I mean, you're going to want guys who can...
Down here in the... Go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, you're going to want guys who can, you know, who've had experience or a driver that you trust has vouched for somebody before you send them out on a frozen lake.
Yep.
And so here I am, Tony.
Oh, yeah.
You know, hi, I've driven in Philadelphia. What's the deepest snow you've driven? 12 inches. Next. Get out.
Just keep moving. Go find a Wawa.
Yeah, exactly.
Get a meatball sandwich,
dude. Go find Wawa and hang out.
Yes, sir.
What's that snowplow?
Yeah, exactly. I'm like, when it snows, they tell me to bring it back in. That's the rules up here, right?
Yeah, when it snows in Alaska, yep.
I don't miss. There was a day that me and my wife, we traveled 750 miles on chain.
Wow.
And I was like, you know what? Let's go somewhere we live where it's sunny all the time. There's no snow, but we would only visit. You know, once every 6 weeks. I'm like, yes, it's time for a change. I'm done with this crap.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, that company that I mentioned, can you strike that from there? Because they did us a little bit dirty on our leave. So.
Oh, yeah.
Look, I don't want to give them a plug.
What company was it? And I'll strike it twice.
okay, it was
I just wrote it down.
Express.
Oh, yeah, oh, that one.
What was it?
Out of Columbus, Ohio. Coldliner Express.
Okay.
We helped them. Me and my wife helped them start their company. Because they got bought out and then they reopened. And we gave them like seven or eight solid years. And I had a Tico bat. And the owner told me, quit and go on Cobra. After I paid, I don't know how many years of insurance and didn't use it. So they really kind of pissed us off, but they kind of helped push our move into going south.
Right.
So, yeah, they don't get a plug.
No plug.
No free no advertisement.
Plug. We'll blank out their name, no, but we'll keep the story about how they screwed you over.
There you go.
We'll just bleep
it out.
So are we already doing the show? Or?
Yeah, man.
We're recording, dude. You were talking about truck driving.
When I started talking to you and all of a sudden you just start jumping, I was like, let's hit record and let's just let it go.
Yeah, let it roll.
Oh, okay.
So we're 10 minutes into this conversation. And for anybody who doesn't know, which is probably everybody, hey, everybody, this is Bob. Bob, everybody. Say hi, Bob.
Hey, everybody.
This
always makes me a bit nervous and stuff when I tell it. I still don't know what happened. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So, this is 92 or 93. And I was living in SoCal. I was driving out of a trucking company out of Iowa. And I had a run that would go from like Central California, to the Bronx. In New York, and the company I worked for, they had, you know, you had to go this direction, take this highway. And I had it down where, you know, we were back on paper logs back then.
Uh-huh.
So
what
you
are
could
those?
Run really hard, but then you, yeah, what are those, huh?
Yeah, now you're talking to the younger driver, the younger generation.
Well, when you have two, you know, you're doing something right and making a lot of money.
There you go.
I would get so far ahead that I would have to just like stop for almost a day because we had to show fuel receipts and stuff. They had to match up or at least be close. And, I didn't like parking at truck stops because, you know, you always got the door knockers and that would just, you know, I'd run really hard and I'd want to sleep and somebody banging on my door asking me if I want a date really pissed me off.
Right.
So I would find out of the way places. I remember going across 80 and I told myself when I get to a certain point, I think it was crossing into PA from Ohio.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to stop. First exit I come to, I'm going to stop. I'm going to take it. I'm going to find me a dirt patch and I'm going to go to bed. And, I think it was exit 1, PA on 80.
Okay.
I'm pretty sure. I wrote this down later. But I was heading east. I was a day ahead. I got off the highway, first exit, made a left, went under the overpass, and I drove about a mile, and I'm just looking for a dirt patch, and I came up to this diner. It was on the left-hand side. And, It looked like, you know, nice place, clean. There was a bunch of cars in the parking lot, which I had to make a left and kind of angle into the parking lot. It was real muddy. And there were rail jobs. There were tea buckets. There were 57s. There were Nomads. I mean, and just pristine. So I figured, you know, there's a 50s club car or a 50s club here with their cars. And I mean, they were spotless, pretty spotless for a dirt parking lot, especially when it was muddy. And I pulled through, I made a U-turn and I parked on the shoulder of the highway. Now, when I got out and I looked through the parking lot, I kind of looked to make sure I didn't splash any of these cars. I mean, they were really nice. And I could see my, tracks of duels, you know, I was pulling a 53 foot reefer. I don't remember what I had loaded, but I remember it was a heavy load. And I could see where I pulled through there and made tracks. I pulled back around. And the place was open. I think it was like maybe 9 or 10 o'clock at night. It was dark. And I figured, you know, I'll go on in there and see what they have, get something to eat, relax a little bit, and I could probably sleep right there. Anyway, I went inside, and the place was really cool. It was everything was red, white, or red, black, and chrome. You know, the floor was done in red and white tiles, or red and black tiles. The chairs were red. The tables were red. You know, with the chrome backing, mm-hmm. the round back, the round seat. And over on the right-hand side, they had they had a soda jerk and a guy cooking burgers.
Wow.
And I was like, wow. You know, this is, I mean, he had the paper hat on and everything.
Mm-hmm.
That's in a white uniform.
Yeah, like a real throwback.
Yeah. Oh, exactly.
Yeah.
And I'm like, you know, hey, wow, this is, they must be doing it because this 50s car club is here.
Right.
I go in, they got, I think it was Coors, these little shorty bottles on ice, sitting in a tub on the floor. And, I sat down, I ordered burger and fries, and I had a couple of beers. But man, I mean, everybody in this place was, the guys had white t-shirts on with the cigarettes folded up in the arm. Right?
Yeah, that's really cool.
Cuff Levi's, DA's, you know, the duck ass hair, you know, slick yep. back, greaser style and stuff. And I mean, these people really, really did it up. That's what I was thinking. And I sat there. I had a couple of beers. I remember I paid my bill and it was like $2.50.
Wow.
I was like, man, I got to remember this place.
Heck
right?
Yeah.
And there are three girls sitting in a booth, kind of across from me. I kept eyeing them. You know, I was in my 20s. I'm a truck driver. You know, go figure.
Right.
And it's kind of like the Catholic schoolgirl outfit. And man, I don't remember striking up a conversation. I don't remember going over to anybody. But the next thing I know, I'm sitting here talking to this girl at my table, really, really light-skinned, some freckles, just absolutely gorgeous.
Mm-hmm.
And she had on, like, the Mary Jane shoes. That's, well, the only other one I really told about this was my wife, and it mm-hmm. took, 30-something years. And she told me, yeah, the black and white shoes, those were Mary Jane's. Okay, so mm-hmm. she had Mary Jane's shoes, the plaid Catholic skirt, the white top, the little black tie thing,
mm-hmm.
jet black hair, and the most beautiful green eyes. I mean, oh my God, just gorgeous. But she was so pale. Yeah, you know, I was thinking, you know, yeah, whatever. Young truck driver, don't care. But we ended up going outside, and I pulled the old, hey, want to see the inside of my truck? Check out my sweeper.
Hey, now.
Right? And she said yes. She said yes, and it was kind of surprising because I was expecting a no, and I was just going to go to bed. But ended up I didn't go to bed alone. And walking out there, there was two or three guys stand there. I was driving this would have been a 91 or 92 377 Pete with a stand-up sleeper on it.
Wow.
And, yeah, it was brand new.
Mm-hmm.
I went walking out there, and there's two or three guys standing around there, and one of them kind of turned to me and goes, what kind of truck is this? It's 377 Pete. And I'm like, okay. And she's already at the door. I remember opening the door, and we got in the truck, and make a long story short, she stayed the night. She stayed the night. We had a good time, and guys, with the lights off, this girl's skin almost glowed.
Wow.
She was, from my point of view, well, actually, probably from anybody's point of view, she was perfect. I mean, and a lot of fun. So anyway,
I think that pregnant pregnant pause said it all.
Yep. So anyway, it came morning and she got up to go, and I asked her for a phone number, and she just kind of giggled, got out of the truck, and she was gone. And I still had a few more hours of sleep, so I kind of slept a little bit. And I went ahead, when I got up, I took a note of where I got off, what highway, mm-hmm. what state, and the direction, because I damn sure wanted to come back to this place.
Yeah, you want to remember that.
And, yeah, right? I mean, I wanted to remember it so bad, I wrote it down. A lot of us carry a little notebook, what load we're on, what the load number is, how long, what the pay should be, blah, blah, blah. So I went on into the Bronx. I believe that was not that day, but the day after. And I delivered into the Bronx produce terminal, which is, yeah, I don't miss that place at all.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, when I came out, I remember, I think it was a load of dog food. I got out of PA going to Northern California, and I'm going right back across that route. And I looked at my directions. I made sure I got them right. And I got there. This time I made a right off the highway, didn't go under an overpass. I went down. I found this place. And I made the same angle into the dirt lot. There's no cars there. But I could see the tracks that I had left from like 3 days earlier. And I pulled through there and made the U-turn and parked at the exact same spot I was at before. And I'm looking at this place. And this place is run down. I mean, it's run down. Windows are broke. Some of them are boarded up. And I'm trying to figure out, okay, this can't be the right place. I got out of the truck and I walked up to it. The doors were askew and I walked in, and guys, it was the exact same tile, the same booth, although they're just ratty and tattered, and the chrome chairs with the red backs and seats, they were piled up in a corner and they were rusted.
Wow.
Okay. I know it's the exact same place, but it was not the place that I was at. And to this day, I can't quite wrap my mind around
it. That is,
I still can't figure what the hell happened.
Oh my word, that's crazy, dude. That is just, it's like, you know what I mean? Like, it just, it's like, wow, that is like something you see in a movie, you know?
Yeah, and you know, I've listened to some other shows, and Jesus Christ, I got chills going. I've listened to some other shows, and this guy, one guy, was talking about aliens. They look really like the 50 era, you know, of the planet Earth and the United States. And I'm like, really? Really?
Is that why the men in black dress the way they do? They're still stuck in the 50s?
If you come up with an ad for that, let me know.
Right.
So, you know, I after the wife got in the truck and we'd been rolling around for a while, I told her what happened. And she could tell it really upset me. The funny thing is, we were over by Area 51, and I bought her these alien head socks. They got these little aliens all over them. And her joke is about that place and that time and what I did with that woman. She goes, look, your kids want to see you. Maybe they were aliens. And she pokes the socks at me, right? Because, man. So anyway, that's her theory on it. And I haven't come up with a better one. I don't know, guys. I really don't know.
Well,
I don't know what the hell happened.
I mean, if you want to go down the alien angle, then you probably have some alien babies somewhere in the universe. You know,
that's what she keeps saying. She goes, "Oh, are you kids coming to visit? Look for UFOs." Shut up.
You didn't get any weird requests in the mail asking for some kind of child support, right?
No.
Okay.
Back then it was all snail mail, man.
Yeah, exactly.
Man,
that's what went on, and I thought, you know, maybe I got the wrong place, but nah, everything was there.
Yeah, it's neat at the same time. Yeah, it's crazy, you know what I mean?
I questioned my sanity there.
Oh, I bet. Holy cow.
You know. And then I stopped by there again, and it was the same thing. It was just boarded up, ran down. I mean, you could tell where the stove and the soda fountain had been before, but there hadn't been anything there working in decades.
Right.
Decades. Wow. For that much rust to get on, you know, and the place was, it was like just running or walking into a building that had been condemned 20 years ago.
Wow.
So, yeah, I don't know.
What was the name of this place? Do you remember?
I don't even remember a name on it, Tony.
Dang it, Bob.
I think it just had a diner, diner sign on top that was lit up. But I mean, when I went there, the place looked like it was brand new.
Right.
It was really clean. Mm-hmm. The floors were waxed. I mean, so everything was perfect.
Yeah, I mean, it's like you went back in time, visited a diner, you know, like a time slip, like you had said. And, you know, when you left and you came back, it's like all of a sudden you're back in, 1992 or 93. You know, like you visited someplace in the 1950s.
Well, that's what I thought. But I get a real distinct feeling that these people or whoever they were knew when they were, and they knew when I was. I don't know if it was a time slip, a dimensional slip.
Hell. Why do you think that, though? I mean, when they asked you about the what kind of truck you were driving,
didn't seem surprised.
Okay, because I mean, the way you told it sounded like they were inquisitive. Like I'm thinking,
like they've never seen a truck. Yeah, like because that would have been totally different from what they.
Yeah, like all of a sudden they're gonna start treating you like Marty McFly or something like that. You know, like
yeah. The girl knew. I think the girl knew. Okay. When I asked for her phone number and she jiggled and left, I think she knew that.
Yeah, you wouldn't be back.
Yeah, exactly.
Right. In their time. Yeah.
Right. And well, it's just the feeling that I get from it. They knew.
Mm-hmm.
I think they knew. And I don't know if they caused it or if it was an accident. But something told me that they knew. Those cars in the parking lot, there's no damn way they got those there without getting mud on. Not that night. Not in that parking lot. Mm-hmm. And they were something you would put on a showroom floor. Something you would wipe. It looked like everything had been wiped down and polished.
Mm-hmm.
And kept polished.
Yeah, like everything was new.
Yeah, like everything was brand new.
Including the cars.
The diner was like brand new. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, like the cars, they were cars of the era, and they were new cars, and that's what you were looking at.
Even for cars of the era to be that clean, I think there was something else that worked there.
Yeah.
I don't think it was a time slip. I don't know. I still can't.
So
I just can't wrap my damn mind around.
So, all right. So you don't know, like now you're having a hard time saying that it was a mind time slip. What do you think it is then?
No, I don't know what it was, but I really don't. I've gone down the alien road. I've gone down the time slip road. I've gone down the dimensional road. And, you know, Tony, none of it makes sense to me. And then all of it makes sense. But I don't know. I've tried to figure this out for, man, a long time. But 40 years, 30 years, 35 years, Jesus. And it kind of frightens me and sends a hell of a chill up my spine. It gets to me. It gets to me. It's one of the, it is the strangest thing that ever happened to me.
That would be the strangest thing.
I'm an ex-paratrooper, right? And things don't bother me too much. We're a pretty tough bunch, generally. And this bothers me. This one really gets to me.
Yeah, I believe it. It would get to me. How do you explain it to yourself? How do you get that into your head? You don't even know.
I can't. So.
Yeah, you don't even know what happened. And,
yeah.
You know, people, you know, when you want to try and explain it to somebody else, it's like, how do you explain that? You know, I get that. I totally get that.
I told my brother-in-law, he's a truck driver, and my sister, and they kind of looked at me like, okay. And I don't blame them, you know. But, this one just baffles me.
Yeah, so, I mean, along the alien route with this lady that you took into the truck and stuff, she wasn't doing any funny butt stuff to you, was she? Like as an alien? She wasn't doing any probing or anything, was she?
But the thing is,
Tony, I was doing the probing, buddy.
Well, see, here's the point to that is if they can make you, you know, if they can create this whole scene before you. And she and right. and they can make her look as good as she did. What went on may have been more than like they implanted. I'm following out the logical line of this thing. They implanted the memory in your head, and who knows what they who knows what they were doing, you know. Well, and I don't mean this in a jokey way. I don't mean it that way. I'm just like following the linear progression of how this would go. You know what I mean?
I hope she just did it and got a DNA sample. And
right.
That was it. I don't even want to think of what else would have put on in that.
Right. Right. Yeah. I'm with you.
All of a sudden, like he's on an operating table somewhere, yep. And he's like, I love you. And he's in some other realm with a bunch of grays with rubber suits on.
He opened up his eyes, and all of a sudden, he's in fire in the sky, and he's,
my wife goes, you know what? Maybe you had sex with an alien and she just looked like a beautiful brunette. I'm like, you know what? I didn't want to think about
that. That's not, I mean, I've heard that story from about different things that have gone on. Like I've listened to enough podcasts to know that is something that people have talked about happening.
Well,
let me just put it to you.
I can tell you one thing, guys. If I would have come to and been pounding the hell out of some little gray, it wouldn't have lived. Okay. Ain't no way.
Oh boy.
Oh my god.
Well, then again, if they have the ability to manipulate reality around you and stuff, there would you even have a chance to physically fight off anything?
Exactly.
You know? I mean, like,
dude,
you know who you're talking to. I've talked to a lot of people who, you know, have experiences of their bodies, like, being completely paralyzed, and then, you know, entities come through and do things, and, you know,
even
the alien angle of things, people talking about being abducted, but being paralyzed first before the abduction.
Look at the Travis Walton thing. Look what he went through.
Right.
That's where I was going with the fire in the sky. That's the name of the movie. Yep. The Travis Walton thing.
Helpless. And they can make you helpless and do all that. But, man, I you know what? Do me a favor. If you ever have anybody else that comes up with this, man, call me and let me know. And tell me what they think.
Definitely.
Because, I seriously thought about going to a psychiatrist and stuff. And I thought, no, I better just keep this to myself.
you could even go to a regressive hypnotist.
Yeah, regressive therapy. Yeah.
Yeah. And, you know, then again, who knows? Maybe you don't want to go down that road. You know what I'm saying?
I really don't.
Yeah, that's a road that you just want to, you know.
I would rather have my theories and doubts of what happened and it be my memory than to find out something else went on.
Right.
That's how bad it scares me.
Yep. I would be that. That's how I would feel. It's like, nope, I don't want to remember that.
Yeah. I don't want to know. I don't want to remember it. Yeah. If some little gray right now,
but there might be a little green or gray alien out there saying, "I want to see my daddy," you know, like, and you're being one of those bum dads. You're being one of those bum dads that runs off.
I'm being one of those bum earthlings.
Yeah, like what, you're such a
nothing. No space stuff.
Way to blend right in with the stereotype there, Bob. You know, like,
yeah, well, thanks. Yeah, right.
Giving us a bad name.
That's funny.
Jeez. That's
really funny. No, it's really a strange situation. And how do you explain it to people? You know, so yeah, I get that.
Well,
you know, I get your dilemma.
Here's the other thing. I told my wife about it. And she said, well, let's stop there. Right?
Mm-hmm.
And we crossed the line, and there's no exit one there.
Nope.
Not anymore.
Nope. It's exit four.
Do you know exit four? Well, exit one used to be there.
It used to be exit one, yep.
It was, right?
Yes, it was. Yes, it was exit one.
Okay.
Yep.
Okay, so I'm not crazy.
No, it used to be exit one. Now it's exit four because they renumbered them all in PA.
Oh, man. Well, that's where I thought there was an exit.
Mm-hmm.
You can see where there may have been an off ramp at one time.
Right.
But the only thing down there is a creek.
Wow. Yeah.
And you know what? The next time you guys go by it, just before you cross the state line, look to your left and right, you will see a downgrade that goes to a creek.
Yeah. I know right where you're at.
And
we have a terminal at Pitt, Ohio.
You know what I'm talking about, right?
Yeah, Pitt, Ohio has a terminal out there in West Middlesex. That's where the West Middlesex terminal is at. Yeah, I know right where you're at. That's why
I know exactly what I'm talking about, right?
Yes. Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
All right. So, all right. Let's dive here a little bit then. So you're saying it's exit four that he took in. It used to be exit one.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, what'd you say? Back in the day, the way it was set up, you made a left onto the highway there?
Yeah.
When he came off the east, going east and he came off the ramp.
I got off. It was exit one and I made a left onto the highway and went back under I-80 and up about a mile because I was just looking for a dirt spot. And I ran into this diner, which I thought was a great stroke of luck.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So he was on 376 there. Is that what that is? 376, 378. I can't even see it from here. We're looking at the map here. When you got off I-80,
yeah.
You loop around
there was no loop around. It was off to the right, stop sign, make left.
Yeah.
Okay.
That exit is totally different now.
Yeah. So if he's making a left, he's going up here.
Mm-hmm.
And you said you drove about a mile to the diner, right?
Right.
Okay. So the diner was on the left hand side. All right. So hang on a second. So this here, 376.
Mm-hmm.
If you, that goes back into Ohio, so
right.
That can't be the right one, or at least
no. I remember up through Youngstown, mm-hmm. across 80,
yep,
into PA. Ohio to PA,
I-80.
Found it?
Yeah. So.
Okay.
So you cross the state line into Pennsylvania,
and you took off
at the first exit.
I told myself, as soon as I get out of Ohio, I want to clear the state of Ohio. As soon as I get out of there, I'm going to find me a place to park.
Right.
Get my, well, it was supposed to be 10 hours, but a lot back then was 8, 10, and most of the time it was run 20 and sleep for 8.
Right.
Paper logs, Tony.
Yep.
Something you know nothing
you
about.
You could do everything. You could do everything.
Yeah. I could have taught creative logging 101. I was pretty good at it.
There you go.
Right? So
that's why they used to call them swindle sheets, dude. That's why they called them swindle sheets.
Amen. And when they came up with a loose leaf log, Hell yeah.
Yep.
You betcha. No more torn pages. No more DOT looking for torn pages out of the book. Yeah, yep. Loosely. Way to go.
So when you pulled off into this diner area,
Tony's like looking at this babby. He's like going in, going out, going. Yeah, I'm getting dizzy watching.
No,
so when you pulled off, were you like in town or was it like on the outskirts of town?
No,
it'd be on the outskirts
of
town.
It was outskirts of town.
Yep.
It was a little 2-lane highway. It mm-hmm. was dark. Exactly what I like to find.
Mm-hmm.
It's like I said, you know, no door knockers, man. That really pisses me off.
Yep.
And I saw some lights. I was coming up the road, and I saw some lights. I'm like, hey, you know, that might be a place I can either, you know, turn around and park or just pull over and do a U-turn in the morning. And it turned out to be that diner mm-hmm. It was a small parking lot. There was cars parked at angles on the left and to the right. There's right angles to me as I pulled in, and I just barely had enough room to pull that 53 through and then do a U-turn without hitting any of the cars.
Mm-hmm.
It was all dirt lot. It was muddy. It had rained. Oh, yeah, go figure. It rains in Pennsylvania, right?
Right, yeah.
Yeah.
It was muddy. Yeah. Right. So I was able to do the U-turn. I had to use both lanes of the highway and then come. By the time I got back to the shoulder, mm-hmm. the tandem was just, you know, grinding in.
Right.
And on that U-turn, and I parked right there on the shoulder, lined up perfect. And those were the exact same marks I saw when I came back.
Wow. That is really, that's okay, crazy. So you knew you had been there.
The mud had, yeah, I knew I'd been there. The mud had dried and left my tracks and where my tandem was spun around mm-hmm. there. You know, I know it's the same place.
I'm sure. I'm trying to find see if there's a diner on the map I can find because Tony wants to go and check it out. That's what I'm looking for.
Well, go ahead, Tony. You get over there, man. Check it all out. My God. And if you do find something,
we'll let you know.
I don't know if I really want to know.
I'm sure it may not even be there if it was all rusted and stuff in 93
years ago.
Yeah. I mean, like, it may not even be there, but it's just, man, this kind of stuff, man, gets me going.
It may have been replaced, you know, by now it may have been torn down and they built something else in its place.
By now it could be a grove of pine trees.
Right.
Doubt it. Usually they replace old with new warehouses. And that's what it looks like it happened here. I mean, we're looking at the first exit.
Really?
We're looking at the first exit right now. And if you made a left, you went up north here a little bit. Yep. And there's just tons of warehousing and all that stuff.
Really?
Right up that road is where Pitt, Ohio is at.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's the first exit.
No kidding.
Yeah.
So,
wow.
So, Dad, have you ever experienced any kind of alien stuff there?
No, I've only gone there a handful of times.
I heard the West Middlesex dispatchers are kind of weird, you know? No?
Hey, man, all dispatchers are a little bit weird.
You know, I still work there, right?
It's just a joke.
I've only ever seen him in the middle of the night, so.
Yeah.
Doesn't Pitt, Ohio use some really old rigs?
Not anymore. All the trucks are they've been updating them and getting through, and so we're basically to a point where it's, I don't know, once they hit a million miles or whatever, they rotate them out.
Only a million miles?
Yeah. Well, in the LTL business, that's not that, you know, it's not that many years.
It's not that long.
They're moving constant day and night, you know, because, you know, nighttime line haul guys, daytime city guys, you know, it's just constantly moving. So,
yeah, I understand. That's just trucking.
Yep. Yep. But yeah, it's right up, you know, where you were at was right up by the old, where the Pitt terminal's at. So
I'll be interested
when I get up there. Yeah.
How long has that terminal been there? Because I don't remember seeing any traffic on that road whatsoever.
Yeah, that was the terminal that they're in now was the second terminal up there. They had another one that when I first started doing.
And West Middlesex, number 22?
No, no, they're lower on the list. I'm
really
not even sure. Yeah, but they're not. I don't think they're that high.
Oh yeah, no. Chicago, I think, is 22.
Yeah, Chicago, Indiana, maybe Battle Creek.
I had this memorized. Obviously, and, well, I know. Why can't I think of it now?
I mean, what was it? I think Hazleton is number 12.
Hazleton's 12,
and Wessex was there before that.
Oh, maybe they're 8 then.
Yeah, been through Hazleton a lot. They got a love there, right?
I'm trying to think. Hazleton. Yes.
Real small one.
There's a pilot. There's a pilot right there at the Nesquehoning exit. Yeah. Or Nesquehoning. It's,
yeah.
It, yeah.
That and Harrisburg and.
Yep.
Yeah. I can tell you guys what stopped me from finding those little private places off the road.
What's that?
If you want to hear that.
I do. Yeah.
So I think it was the winter after that happened, they would run us across 40 all the way up to the 81 and then up. And I found this little place in Arkansas. I couldn't even tell you the exit. It was somewhere around Little Rock before you get to Little Rock. And I'd like to get there, you know, kind of early. And pull off the road. I found this gas station. It was like an old, just an abandoned gas station. You could pull behind it, and it just backed up to the forest there. And, you know, I could put the window screens in, and it was still fairly cool. And, man, the thing I loved about getting in the sleeper when you just change your sheets and everything's clean, you've had a shower and you're tired, and you just strip down, get into the sheet, and go to sleep, right? Peaceful. And that's what I had done. And I'm in bed. I went to sleep, and I woke up because my right side was getting kind of hot, and I couldn't figure out why. I woke up, and my truck is being shaked back and forth so hard it's moving me in the bed. And I'm like, what the hell? And I unzipped the sleeper and turned on the light, and it stopped that fast. And I remember the first thing I was thinking was, well, the weather's good. It's not a tornado. And the hair on the back of my neck was standing up, and it felt like an ambush. It literally felt like I was being ambushed. Guys, I tell it with a little bit of humor here. My naked ass hit that driver's seat. The key was turned. I hit the button. It was already in gear. Clutch, brakes, gone.
Yeah, buddy.
I mean, gone. Because I just got this really, really bad feeling. And I drove all the way to West Memphis and parked in a truck stop and went back to bed. Naked. Wow. I drove all the way there. I didn't. If I got pulled over and they asked, yeah, I'm naked, motherfucker. I don't care. But, so I stopped, I found a parking place, it was like, it's pretty late at night, I was surprised they got a parking place, but anyway, I went in, they got a Subway right there, and I went in, I got a breakfast sandwich and a cup of coffee, came back out, and I'm doing the walk around on my truck, and I got to the passenger side, and this is that same 377 stand-up sleeper. And I look up, and there is a palm print on the edge of the top of my sleeper and another one above the passenger door. Biggest damn palm prints I've ever seen. And I shortly came off the road after that.
That would make me do
nope,
it.
Nope, that's enough.
Yep.
That's enough. I never parked back in that place again. But, yeah, I think I know what happened, but I don't really know what happened, but I've got my theory on it.
Well, for the audience that may not think like you and I think, Bob, inform them what you're thinking, because I know what you're thinking.
Yep. I think we're all on the same page.
It was a big, hairy bastard that didn't like me being parked there. That's what it was. That's what I think it was. That or an angry...
Go, but listen. This is like almost therapy for you, okay? You have to be able to say it. Say what this big, hairy guy is. You can do it.
I didn't see it. I didn't smell it, but I think it was probably a Squatch. So,
Tell and, so you got
yeah,
this,
that kind, that
you, Bob.
Kind of...
Bob, you have to say it, but you have to give it its full. What's the full name? You have to say the full name. You can't go short on me here. This is the Merkel counseling session.
Much.
There we go. All right. How does that feel, Bob? How does it feel? Is there healing involved? Do you feel better?
Closure. Closure.
Is there closure now?
That's what we call it. Closure.
Well, I'll tell you what. I know even with the wife in the truck, like we would run the back roads of Oregon behind Chemulton stuff. And she'd go, oh, this is a really beautiful place. We should stop here. No, we're not. Go on into town. Thank you.
Yeah, buddy.
But
there's a truck stop place with my name on it. That's what it is. You know, that's where I'm going.
Yeah, there's a pilot before we get there. And then there's White City and Medford afterwards. Mm-hmm. And yeah, we can park over there somewhere. We're not parking over here.
Yeah. I'm a personable person. Yeah. Man. I want to go where there's people.
even though I don't like most people, I'm going to go over there by name.
Yes, sir. The safety in numbers.
Yeah. So, I think I lasted about another, probably until the next winter. And then I came off the road for a long time.
Yeah.
And, I parked at truck stops. I didn't go down any more two-lane highways. I was done. I was done at that point.
Yeah, I can totally understand that.
Yeah, that experience that I had there at the Ohio-Pennsylvania line. And if you guys come up with a really good theory, call me back and tell me about it, because I'd love to hear it.
Well, you know,
we'll have to do a road trip sometime.
Yeah, dude.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, I don't know. I'm not so convinced that on the alien theory. I want to say, I don't know, man.
Tony just wants to hear that I got probed. No.
No.
No, Tony, no.
No, I don't. I wouldn't wish that on anybody. Okay, I've heard enough stories.
Yeah,
you know,
I've seen fire in the sky. Yeah, I've seen what happens.
Yeah, I saw fire in the sky. Yeah,
you know, they're like, hey guys, there's a trucker down here. Let's go do some butt stuff.
That I really wanted to go back and see that girl again.
I bet you did.
Yeah.
Sounded like Bob thought he was getting married.
Oh, I'll tell you, if I would have got her phone number, there would have been a chance.
Yeah.
But,
or just a regular stop, you know, on his way through whenever he's coming through PA, you know?
Yeah.
That's what kept me on the road for another 3 months.
Yeah. I figured, you know.
Oh, man.
That's funny. I don't know. Like, yeah, so Bob, your instinct on that situation is that the people around you understood that you were out of place. But what if they didn't, though? If they didn't, that would mean that we could be talking about a possible legit time slip where you went back into time, which I'm fascinated by.
Right.
And people are like, oh, come on. No. Listen.
Yeah, I've heard other people talk about that, like the traveling salesman that found the $2 or $1.99 porterhouse steak at a truck stop and could never find the truck stop again.
Right.
You know, I've thought about it. Believe me, guys, I've thought about this for like 30 years.
Right.
And I don't know if it was planned for me or just planned for the next person that stopped there, but something tells me it was planned.
Right.
Something tells me those people that were there knew, especially I know when I strike up a conversation with a woman, I don't remember striking up a conversation with this woman. I just remember, and believe me, two beers doesn't do it for me. I just remember all of a sudden she was at my table and we were talking.
Right.
I think there's a little something else involved there.
Yeah.
No, maybe it was a memory implant, or maybe they slipped through from the next dimension and they knew it, or I don't know. I've racked my brain over this for decades.
Oh, I bet.
And, it still baffles me.
Mm-hmm. It would me too.
I mean, that area of Pennsylvania is pretty... I find pretty mysterious to begin with. I mean, you're not far from.
Hey, you know what? You're not the only one to say that. My wife, when we would drive through Pennsylvania, she said, "There's something wrong here." Yep. And I feel it when I drive through there.
I know you feel it.
The 80 or the 76. Oh, yeah. I've talked to other drivers that drive through there, you know, that go coast to coast and stuff. And yeah, there's stuff a little bit off. There's something a little strange about driving through that area, especially at night.
Let me tell you something. Yeah. I live in Pennsylvania. I can guarantee you there's something off about Pennsylvania. Pennsylvania born and raised, and I know, yes, there's something off about this state.
Yeah, I've heard a lot of weird things coming out of that side of the state, and with the Allegheny National Forest being right there and stuff, I mean, there's a lot of mysterious things that come out of that forest, and I mean, that's why I'm fascinated by this story, because I'm thinking there's so many freaking possibilities, and I feel like there's something that I'm not thinking of that I'm going to think of, like, you know, as soon as I hang out with Bob, right. And I'm like, oh, that's what it was. Okay.
You call me back tomorrow or something and let me know. Whatever it is. Or send me a text, man.
Yeah.
Because I've done all the gambit. I've thought about just about everything there is, what it could have been. And I my brain just comes to a dead stop.
Yeah.
Can't figure it out.
I believe it.
So, without getting too weird on the Trucker podcast, I will say that I know, not even that I think, I'm just going to put myself out there. I know portals are real, and I know that our science, our modern science, is now using portals and going into other dimensions. They've said so. Look it up.
Really?
Edward Monet. Everybody can do it. Just go on DuckDuckGo, not Google. And look Edward Monet up and type in like Edward Monet parallel universes or something like that. And you should find a video where he was on Chelsea Handler's show. She asked him about how possible or real the show Stranger Things could be on Netflix. And he's like, well, we actually do dabble in parallel universes. And so, I don't know if he said universes or dimensions. I can't remember, but like he kind of tried pushing it off and kind of downplaying it. But him saying that, and then my own understanding and looking into like places like CERN over in Switzerland. Anybody who doesn't know, CERN is
the Hadron Collider.
Yeah, it's a particle accelerator. It's 17 miles in diameter. It's underneath the ground, going from Sweden underneath the border into France. And the things that they're doing there is on another level. And they call it science, but when you look at what they're doing, it's a little bit more than science. And I think that they know it because they have a statue of Shiva, the goddess of destruction, on their front lawn.
Right. Yeah. I heard about that, and I heard about their opening ceremonies were a little strange.
To the tunnel, it was very occultic, and so like we're talking about like worldly leading scientists, quote unquote scientists, doing things that are on another level, and on top of it, what they're projecting image wise with their ceremony and these gods and all that stuff as statues on their front lawn, they're saying a whole other thing, and I'm just saying.
Hammer Lane Legends meets Discovery Channel.
Right. Like, I'm just saying, like, maybe you hit some kind of weird portal, because we do have a particle accelerator, not in 1993, but we do have a particle accelerator in Tennessee as well. It's not nearly as big as CERN's, but we do have one in this country. And who knows what, when you fire up a particle accelerator, who knows what that entails there, because they're looking for the God particle, which is what makes up our existence.
Right.
And in order to find that particle, they need to deconstruct the reality around us, and that's what they're doing. And
maybe they did a little Stephen King, The Mist.
Right. Exactly.
Right.
I mean, like maybe by needing to deconstruct reality around you to find the God particle, maybe you do open up portals that pop up in other time periods, and all of a sudden you got a trucker banging an alien, and he thinks he's banging an alien.
Tony, I didn't think I was banging an alien.
Right.
Oh,
hindsight,
God.
And then all of a sudden, he like these these particle accelerators are creating content for Hammer Lane Legends.
There you go.
Oh, there you go. Oh my God.
That was a long way around. I tell you, that was a long way around the barn.
It was a long, long way around. Yeah.
Welcome to the rabbit hole, boys. I just took you around the edge of it. We didn't even go down yet.
You got that right.
No.
Oh man.
But it's been good talking to you guys.
Yeah, it's been a blast. Well, since then you've been you continue driving, and you're still driving. You're down in Alabama, right?
Yeah, I got an accident that took me out of trucking for about 10 years.
Oh wow.
And I came back to it.
Mm-hmm.
And I did concert tours, and then I went back to running reefer, running freight, and I married a biologist, turned her into an over-the-road truck driver. I'm a bad, bad man.
Yes, you are.
And we moved from SoCal. We got we got like 24 acres here in Alabama, way out in the woods. Really, no neighbors.
So,
and we absolutely love it. We like the peace and quiet. And I got a local job. I go to work about 11 o'clock tonight. I'll get off 9 or 10 o'clock tomorrow morning and come home every day.
That's beautiful.
It's beautiful. It's my dream.
Yep, that's beautiful. That is.
Yeah,
that's the way to do it.
It's peaceful.
Mm-hmm. But
I don't think I could take another dimensional slip or time for whatever the hell it was. I could no, not anymore.
Right. So you stopped parking your truck in the rural areas to buy a house in the rural areas. Any visitors? You getting any visitations at all? I mean, any big palm prints on your house? I'm just curious. Just throwing it out.
No, a lot of deer.
Yeah.
A lot of deer. We have a few weird sounds. I did listen to a Wes, one of his old shows, and the guy was at Fort Rucker talking about UFOs and Sasquatch. And I'm right next to Fort Rucker.
Oh, wow. Yes. That's why I was going down that trail.
I kind of figured that. Awesome. These woods have been pretty quiet.
And that's good. That's good. And I'm glad you're happy where you're at. That's a good thing. And you weren't permanently injured or anything like that from your accident that took you out for 10 years in the trucking industry?
I'm full of titanium. So,
okay.
Yeah, it's kind of an ongoing thing. But moving down here, I'm also heavily armed. So I don't worry about squat.
Gotcha.
We're okay.
Well, I'm glad you're all right from the accident and all that too. That's a good thing.
That was quite an ordeal, but yeah, we got through it.
Good.
Well, guys, it's my bedtime.
All right, sir.
All right, brother.
It has been a blast talking with you. Thank you so much for sharing your story. We really do appreciate it. It was a great conversation with you, Bob.
All right, guys. You take it easy. Love the show. Love the confessionals. And you guys keep doing what you do.
All right.
Thanks, Bob. Sir.
You rest well.
All right. All right. Later, guys.
See ya.
Well, that's the show, everybody. We really hope you enjoyed it. If you enjoyed it, Dad. What can they do?
They can share the show. They can share it on any social media that they like. You don't even have to use social media. You can just tell your friends. Tell your lovers, tell your friends' lovers, tell anybody. Listen to the show. And I want to give a shout out to some of the guys where I work who have been really, sharing the show with a lot of people. I really appreciate that. It's really cool, guys. I really appreciate that you're sharing the show. That means a lot to me, and I really appreciate it.
Yeah, that's cool that we're getting the support of the pit drivers and stuff. That's it only took me to quit driving for Pit Ohio for you guys to freaking do that?
Yep,
come on,
that's
now.
It.
It's awesome though. I appreciate it, and thanks for supporting the show, everybody that listens and shares it with other people. If you want, go ahead and take a big can of spray paint and hit up your the neighbor that you hate the most and spray paint hammerlanelegends.com on the side of their house.
Wow.
Just make sure that the cameras aren't looking and they're sleeping at night so you don't get caught, but I would appreciate it if you did that. Thanks a lot, guys. Appreciate that.
Wow.
Yeah. All right, until next week.
In lieu of doing that, keep the hammer down.
In the hammer lane. Bye.